Glory be to God for everything. Nick is nothing. It's not about my story as much as it's about Jesus' story and his love for us. I didn't write my own story. And that's when people look at me and say, Nick's story, his history is his story. And my story is not for me to just know, it's for me to share with the world. And there are some of us that have gifts of evangelism. There are some of us who have gifts of teaching and so on and so forth. And I can see the impact and influence that FCA have on this whole country. And I am so excited to be here. What you see is what you get. When I say our goal is to reach the world for Jesus, 7 billion people, we really mean it. With all glory to God and all... I mean, it's ridiculous. But... with a full, humble heart, we give all the glory to God that he opened up the doors for me to speak last year. In 17 weeks, in 24 countries, press conferences, national broadcasts of my testimony in places that's never been done before, like Vietnam, 70 million people heard the gospel. I was on Yahoo, CNN, and Fox for being the first evangelist to get away with doing something like that. And they said, well, how can you get away with it? And I'm thinking, well, no one's going to handcuff me, right? And that was not my official answer, but it's just been absolutely incredible. And words cannot describe. Knowing that I'm only 31, and then knowing people like John Erickson Tata, who's my dear friend, also an advisory board, with Billy Graham, August 2011, with my fiance at the time. We had 45 minutes with him before we got married, and it was so, so cool to see the generals in the army of God go before us and move forward, finish strong, in full integrity, and never slowing down. And I want to talk about FCA and every single one of you here in your individual, in your family life, in your church life, and now with you as well. So I just hope that you're going to be encouraged. I'm sure you will be. I'm just going to ask the light people to sort of half the lights here, because I felt like I was like in the sun for a second. So I can just see the people a little bit. Thank you so much. Can you all still see me? Don't worry, I won't fall off and break an arm. It's okay. I just want to alert the time people. I am very, very, very greedy when it comes to the time given to me. So I asked before I got up here if I had 40 minutes, and the clock was already ticking before I came here. So I'm giving myself 90 more seconds. And if you don't like it, don't invite me back. Guys, it is my privilege and honor to be a Southern Californian boy. I don't know where y'all from. I've met some people from Northern Carolina tonight, from Texas. Met a couple of you, shook the hands with Les. Where's Les, President CEO? As are you here? Yes, there you are. Good. I got to shake his hand before I came in, and I look forward to talking with Les more and more and to expand on some things that I want to share tonight. First of all, who has never heard my testimony before? Cool. Great. To really put it in summary, I know that video has already said that in a summary, but I am just so excited. I am on a high. Everybody say hi. And what I mean is, man, I just came from D.C., National Prayer Breakfast. We had the privilege of having the private tour of the Supreme Court, and we had a private tour of the Capitol Hall and the Capitol building there in Washington, D.C., and we were able to pray there in Congress and pray there in the Supreme Court. And it was quite interesting as I was there in the Congress. This was Thursday. My goodness. I run so fast, I leave my legs behind. We went into Congress, and I love the words, "In God we trust" at the top. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And then you got the flags and all the stuff. And then there's this like book thing, you know, like this stand for a big, big book. And I mean, if I'm seeing a big, big book in Congress, I would like it to be the B-I-B-L-E big book. So I went up to it, curious, and it wasn't the B-I-B-L-E, it was the dictionary. And as I, interesting, right? And so on the wall, it said, "In God we trust." And I'm like, it's interesting that they don't have a Bible there. And That's a whole new topic and a whole new three-hour sermon. And I just want to say what I saw. So what I saw was this dictionary, and I'm always very curious. You know, I'm not this super spiritual guy, did you just feel the wind of the Holy Spirit sort of thing. I'm not that person. I have seen prophecy be fulfilled. Prophecies, I've met some people who've said some things, and it's definitely come true. I don't chase after prophecy. I chase after God's heart and let that be confirmation. You with me? If you've never seen a miracle, a physical miracle, like a blind person see, I have. If you've never seen a crooked back come straight right in front of your eyes, I have. I've seen some physical miracles, and some people don't believe it happens, but that's their disability. Can you hear an amen? God does do miracles. He just doesn't do all the miracles we think he sometimes really should, because we really feel like we need them. That was like when I was a kid, right? I needed arms and legs. I didn't need arms and legs. I needed hope. I didn't need arms and legs. You can have 10 fingers and 10 toes, but not know what to do with them. If you don't know purpose, you're just as disabled as I am. We all have disabilities, don't we? We all have prayer requests, do we not? Well, I want to encourage you first and foremost, when you go in faith, you put a G-O in front of the word disabled, and it spells God is abled. Good one, you can write that one down. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Probably half of you have heard that one, but here's another good one you haven't heard, F-A-I-T-H, full assurance in the heart. To believe in something we do not see is exactly Hebrews 11:1, certain of things hoped for and sure of the unseen. And it's just very interesting that we can get so comfortable in what we see. And I don't want to just encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing. I really want to, maybe you're going to hate me, but I'm going to tell you, man, this is fun, this is good, this is big, but hold on, it's going to get bigger and better and faster and higher, all for the glory of God. And if you're okay with that, then we're going to move forward. Because I really feel what I'm saying to you is exactly not a coincidence that I just came from Washington, D.C., and the next speech is here. And I'll get to that later. For me, I want you to understand something very, very important. That word on the dictionary, I looked at the dictionary. It's quite a big book, probably three times as large as my Bible up here. It was open. You know how you have, like in a dictionary, you've got the left page and the right page, and the top left page is a word which represents the first word of that page. And then the top right of the left page is the last word of the left page, and then the right page, the top left of that right page is the first word of the right page, and the top right of the right page is the what? Last word. Good. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, why is it open to just some random thing, right? Nothing's random. So I'm there with a Congress guy. I met four congressmen. Right there and then, not in the Congress, but in and out, and all friends of Al's. Half of them were new friends. He introduced me to a couple other ones. It was really cool. But what was really awesome is the word that was on the top right of the left page and the top left of the right page. The only word on that double page that was said three times. Well, how is it three times? Because twice at the top and then one in the actual contents, correct? Guess what the word was? Comfortable. I run into big Christian leaders of ministries. I'm not going to say who. And I looked at him in the eyes, and I've seen some of them, and I've seen their responses. And I said, how much more ground are we willing as Christians to let go of to the enemy before we actually do everything we can to put a stake in the ground? And there was no response, except for confirming that they feel the same way, but we just don't know when and who will stand up. I believe the FCA body in this nation is one of the key aspects of revival that will actually be initiated. I believe it. By the grace of God, I've spoken in front of congresses, five congresses last year, seven presidents last year. 400 million people heard the gospel last year in 17 weeks. A devout Buddhist paid $1.7 million to have me go and share my testimony on Vietnam TV for the first time. $1.7 million it costed him, two stadiums and 7 one-hour slots on national TV. And guess what? They want to do it again. Then they're opening up doors, this devout Buddhist, in Myanmar. Anyone know what Myanmar is? Yeah, pretty cool. See, we only need the door to open up a little bit because I got just a little foot to put in the door. So all I want to say to you is I am a humbled evangelist who's a very, very, very small ministry. We're only at a very small budget, smaller than a small church, but 400 million seeds were sown all across the world, and we thank God for that. But the next 4 years is America. God has definitely revealed to us that America needs God like never before. And we are very disturbed. We are very moved to pray every single day. For Obama, for our government, and for our nation, we are commanded to do that, whether we like him or not. I love the guy. I just want him to see more of Jesus. So I am so excited that I am here before you because I believe you hold one of the keys. I really say that. Let me tell you some really cool stuff. Can I tell you some fun stuff now? Last year, Gary Herbert, governor of Utah. Yeah, Utah, the Mormons, by the grace of God. We were the third evangelist to give out, third evangelist, Moody in 1899, 2004, Rabbi Zechariah, by the grace of God. I was there 2009, but we were the first evangelist to ever give out evangelical church decision cards within the Mormon tabernacle, and 1,000 came to Christ, including some staff of some elders. Ha 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 ha. We're really good friends with Jeffrey Holland, and they are entertaining the idea of having us back. They'd already had Rabbi Zechariah back, so how does that happen? God. Really cool what happened in Utah. Governor Gary Herbert had me speak in front of three or four schools, and thank God for technology. Everybody say technology. Thank God for technology. We had a simulcast into 460 schools by the grace of God. And classrooms. Let me tell you something that's really going to touch you. I was speaking 270 times a year, every year, 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010. I was single, I could do it. I was young, I could do it. I was convicted, so I did it. But then everybody said, Nick, slow down because you're going to burn out. Well, when you got a God thing going, not just a good thing going, you know, it's a God thing going, it's very hard to find the God balance. Now, thank God at the time I was not married. Thank God at the time I was not a father. Now you change your schedule according to the fact that you're married. And then so me and my wife, we organized the fact that, you know, we did 24 countries last year. We thought we were going to do it together. It'd be great. And then surprise, my son Kiyoshi was born. Yeah. So we make our plans, but God directs our steps. And so in our lives, I was having my own plan, and people were saying God's footprint is a little bit to the right and a little bit slower, but I kept on running. Well, if I want to reach, because I felt this is what God wanted me to do, if I want to reach 7 billion people in the world, I'm only going to live maybe 90 years old. How am I going to reach 7 billion people in the world if I start slowing down? Now, I'm a graduate of accounting and financial planning degree, graduated 21. I know the balance sheet, I know the profit loss and all that sort of stuff. And I'm so happy to tell you this. God slapped me in the face with a burnout. And he said, why didn't you trust me? He kept on telling me, slow down, slow down. But God. Listen to his whispers so he doesn't have to yell. Can you hear an amen? Amen. Well, I'm stubborn as a mule. Anyone little stubborn here? Yeah. And I burnt out that bad that I'll never forget it. And the lessons and the wisdom and the maturity and the quickening of a closeness and intimacy with my Jesus was so crucial for what he had 3, 4, 5 years later. That'll set the stage for the next 20. Guess what happened when I stopped speaking? See, because the accountant and the financial planner, so it's like, well, if I start slowing down, then how are we going to get honorariums? And if we have less money, then how can we do anything? If I have less money, I can do less. And it's a terrible spiral that you just don't know what to do with. As a 26-year-old, I've hired and fired, and I have an older soul than 31 today just because of that experience. But guess what happened? When I finally stopped, a check of $120,000 came in. It matched the first very gift of our biggest gift we'd ever had up until that point. And God said, I got your back. I don't just have your back. You're not doing anything. I'm doing everything. So let me do what I want to do through you. I have a perfect will that's better than your greatest ideas. You get your greatest ideas together, it'll never match the perfect will of God Almighty. He knows exactly what he's doing. So when I say to you, don't slow down. I heard that the last 10 years you've had now track records of how many groups are growing and growing and growing and growing, and that feels pretty good. For us to preach to 400 million people in 17 weeks, we feel pretty confident that that was the perfect will of God last year for us. To see your growth span over the last 10 years, it seems pretty clear that that seemed to be like the perfect will of God for the last 10 years. But get ready, because we aren't going to slow down. We just got to work smarter, with more creativity, not with our wisdom, God's wisdom. For me, I believe that out of all the financial pockets that should be unlimited is God's pocket of money. And I don't understand why 100 million teenagers have not come together yet and given a dollar. Does anyone know what the biggest topic is all around the schools in the world? I was going to say world. Anyone know what the biggest topic is that everyone's been talking about for the last 3 years around the world? Starts with B, bullying. Would you concur that that's pretty much the biggest thing that everyone's been trying to tackle? It's time that the body of Christ shines. I'm doing with Gary Herbert some stuff in the state, but within me, my soul is screaming, where are the Christian schools across this land that will be and should be and commanded to be the most generous people on the planet to eradicate bullying? Is it possible that we can tackle a thing like bullying? Is it possible that a school could totally stop bullying? Yes, it's possible. Is it likely? No. Have I seen one? Yes. Hawaii. I got a letter from the headmaster. I spoke there. 8 months after I spoke there, we got a tremendous letter. Nick, the school has absolutely changed. No one has teased anyone. Then in parentheses, he says, well, it's not that teasing has stopped, but it has been minimized to a point because of the social pressure and peer pressure of the 95% of the school who stood united in agreeing that when they witness it, that they're not just a bystander watching it, there's someone on standby and looking down upon those bullies who just don't get it yet. There has not been teasing in our school for 8 months. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Jesus. It was an elementary Christian school. And I thank God that it were those 9 to 12 year olds. It will be the teenagers who will say, I want to help, but I just didn't know how. We need to give this next generation a vision that's bigger than ourselves. That's bigger than just saying, don't do drugs, don't have sex before marriage, don't bully, as if they're going to stop bullying because I say stop bullying. But if you say, enough is enough, the time has come. That the Lord is saying, do not say that you are young, for I have touched your lips and anointed you. You are to go out. There are kings in the Bible that were 9 years old, did so many great things for the Lord Almighty. It's the youth who already want to do it more than you want to do it. They just don't know how. They want to talk to their friends. They want to talk to their neighbors. They just don't know how. How about you? How many years will God give you the grace to be neighbors with your neighbors until you make enough time to actually tell them about Jesus Christ? He put you there. God help us all in the day in heaven, if heaven is mapped out geographically like earth, and I live on my street, the exact same shape, the exact same houses, let's say, and I see how many of my neighbors just didn't make it to heaven. Because I was too busy. B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. And I've seen the fire of 9-year-old evangelists. I've seen them. There's one in San Diego, 9-year-old Elisha, in his public school. Nothing to do with FCA. There was no Bible study of any sort. And one day Elisha was bullied. 8 of his friends left him. They made a cool kid club, and he wasn't cool enough. So Elisha went to the garden to pray, literally. And he said, God, what do I do? And God says, start your own cool group and preach to them. In 6 months, he invited one friend. Those 2 people invited 2 friends. Those 5 people invited 5 friends. A 9-year-old kid in San Diego, God used him to bring 65 students to the Lord Jesus Christ in 6 months. Don't tell me that they're not out there. They're out there. We just got to unite them. What you could do with the Christian schools, it's looking like it's the only way, guys. Because no church wants to work with any church. I don't care how much you wish it weren't so. This church list will never be shared with that one. This church list not going to be shown with that one. This pocket, this donor, this, no one's sharing anything. But if we unite the body of Christ, who are not stubborn and prideful and fearful as we are, then we got a chance. Ten 1,000 schools in America. Let's say 500 kids in every school give $1 a month to change the world. 10,000. A million. Hold on a second. I only work with ones and zeros, not fives. 1 second. I want you to hear this because you got to see this. I'm a numbers guy, okay? 10,000 schools by 500. Yeah, I thought so. $5 million a month. For the kingdom. For their own community. $5 million a month. My ministry's on 2 million a year, and we reach 400 million people. Half a cent a soul. But you don't understand. It's not about the money. It's not about changing things. It's about equipping and sending out and giving them an initiation and a passion of how to evangelize, of how to love, of how to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. To know that they're not the only one. There are schools like this, guys. Oaks Christian School in Westlake Village. The founder of that school was the first guy to give us a check to move me from Australia to California 8 years ago. I was 23. I left my family. I left my church. I left everyone I knew to start what I felt like God wanted me to do. His school, that school, God's school, I talked with the 36 most passionate evangelists in that school, and I said, will you help me reach Victorville? Well, what's Victorville? Well, Victorville is a high desert city in California, 2.5-hour drive from Los Angeles, and you never stop in Victorville because everyone goes there to drop off the map. You see it for about 3 or 4 miles on the way to Vegas and 3 or 4 miles on the way back, and that's it. You don't even stop in McDonald's in Victorville, especially at midnight, because you will see guns. I saw guns, all right, in some places around the world. And you know those car movies where this car comes out, coming out sideways of a street with the door sort of open and some legs hanging out? 11 a.m. in Victorville, right in front of me. 2.5 hours away from my home. This is the missions field, guys. We're going to Hawaii. Oh, that doesn't sound so bad. Yeah, we're going to 17 schools in 5 days. No, 17 schools in 2 weeks. And the kids actually have showers at the schools and actually get fed at the schools. That's how poor they are. That's not what you think of Hawaii, is it? It starts from the west and it goes to the east and it covers from top to bottom. The wave of God's power, the wave of God's united body like never before. And it's not us, it's our kids. And we just got to push them. We got to get them together. We got to give them a vision that's bigger than them. What's the vision? $1 a month. How? Why hasn't that been done yet? I was in Cambodia with the government, and just sharing a little bit about this. And a kid was there, he's 12 years old, and he says, my mom and daddy only make $70 a month, US, but I know they'd give you $1 to change Cambodia. Why hasn't it been done yet? Because the picture isn't complete. Without an army of people to say, here I am, what do I got to do? And it's our teenagers. It's you. It's me. It's all of us. An army divided is an army conquered. Let's unite. After I spoke at Oaks Christian there to the 36 kids, We had a restroom break after an hour and a half. And I said, so what did you think? A 13-year-old kid. I didn't know who he was, right? Short, skinny fella. Of course, he's taller than I. He said, Nick, I've always wanted to do something that makes sense and that really helps people. I just didn't know how. This is perfect. The kids said, I offered them, would you do the praise and worship with me? They're like, what? Sure. Oaks Christian has a national known platform on football. They're very good at football, this high school. Very good team. Gretzky's kids go there, all the famous, Will Smith's kid used to go there. I mean, do you understand? Britney Spears lives around the corner. That's this type of school, making an impact. Like that? Yeah, Nick, let's do it. You said there's a Christian school in Victorville? I said, yeah, it's the biggest employed organization in Victorville. Employing organization in Victorville. What's the second one, Nick? Prison. So let's do 13 schools together in a week. Sounds great. Let's do it. I said, you run it. They're like, awesome. Let's do it. They're like, yes. I know I was born for something bigger than myself. I just couldn't see what it was. Don't talk to me about your disabilities. That short little skinny kid just saw his dad hanging from a rope. He hung himself 16 weeks prior. Don't tell me your disability. Just go. It's time for us to wake up. You are one of the keys in unleashing the fire of the Holy Spirit and love across this nation like you've never imagined in your life. I am not prophesying that over you. I'm just telling you what I think is just about to happen if we can just get these schools together. And don't tell me it's impossible. You saw the video? That's God. Let me tell you what that's God is. Anyone heard of El Centro down in Southern California? It's another high desert Victorville-ish. The highest employing thing out there is the prison. A 19-year-old young adult told everyone, we want to bring Nick Vujicic here. And she went to, Dana, was it 25 people? 25 people said, you're crazy. Nick's not coming here. You can't do this. This has never been done. You'll never have a stadium. You'll never do anything that you're talking about. One guy from a prison ministry said, yeah, I think that's possible. Let's pray about it. This young girl not only brought us as a ministry there, and the Holy Spirit was there, and it was the largest event there ever, 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 and still ever. But they got 16 fully attending schools, public schools, blessed by the county government. They even gave them money and gave them the venue for free to put 16 schools under one roof. In a public setting where I can talk about Jesus and pray with them. Wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, you just got to be a little crazy to believe in something crazy. Dare to believe in the greatness of your God because the time is now. The time is now. And bit by bit and inch by inch, the devil's taken more ground. It starts in our home, and it starts in our schools. It starts with the men. When the men fall, the family falls. The family falls. The nation falls. Please consider me a brother, ready to dream something crazy with you. I'm not looking for book sales. I got number one in 7 countries. I don't care. Do you know what's frustrating about my number one in 7 countries? Everyone had to pay for my book. What if it was for free? The letters that I got. Nick, I decided not to commit suicide after reading your book. What if it was for free? No, then you don't have distribution. Bah, 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 bah. Told my literary agent, hey, I'm going to be producing free books later on. Excuse me? But she let me dream a little crazy. She said, try one. I want you to get this. She said, try one because I gave her a business model, providing free books. I don't know what God would have to do to get all the churches working together, apart from absolute persecution. It's funny, but it's not. It's a little scary, right? And funny at the same time. But I'll tell you what God will have to do and what he will do to get the gospel accessible to every single planet, every single person on the planet. Because of my lack of faith in me not believing that God is the creator of creativity, God, if it is your will that this book becomes free, I have to buy back my book from Random House. I can't give my books out for free. I have to buy them at a wholesale thing. And I can't afford that to give out to everyone I want to give them out to. But this is what's just about to do in the book world. And I'm telling you this because I'm seeing it before anyone else is seeing it, I believe, with all humility. And it's only because God wants the gospel preached. God wants the gospel preached. And if he has to implement a money-making model for Christian authors to actually give their books for free in a way that they actually make more money giving their book away for free, he'll do it. Did you get that? And it's coming. God wants the gospel preached. God wants the gospel preached. And despite my lack of faith, he still does it and shows us as we seek his faith. At 15, I said, here I am. Use me. And I've never looked back. Because God's never failed me. Has he ever failed you? Will he ever fail you? God always pays for what he orders. And if there are any people here in this room tonight who's thinking about giving a donation, I don't know if this is the setting or whatever, the relationships that you have, just double it. You just told me God doesn't fail you. You know the neighbors that you haven't preached to yet, so get behind these guys so we can gather an army like the world's never seen before. And then when you go to heaven, you will see a long line of people coming up to you. And you won't know who they are, but they'll know who you are. Thank you for bringing FCA to our school. I got saved. We're all looking for miracles, are we not? Well, stop looking for yours and just be one for someone else. You think I'm waiting for arms and legs? No. You think I got a pair of shoes in my closet just in case? Yeah. I can multitask. When you don't get a miracle, be one. My last story here tonight is, I was in front of a church, limbless boy, 19-month-old, being lifted up high above the crowd here in California. I was 24, never met anyone like me physically. Couldn't believe what I saw. I got his father to bring him up on stage. He had no foot, but he had no legs and hands, but he had a little foot like mine, and he's looking up at me. I'm looking down at him. Couldn't give him a high five, so I gave him a low two. I love my two toes. Peace. Where was I? He's looking up at me, and everyone's crying. He's smiling like crazy, right? Man, I saw him in me. I knew what he was going to go through, the bullying, the teasing. I tried to commit suicide at age 10. And I only wish that I'd met someone like me so I knew I wasn't alone. I didn't get that miracle, but God, by his amazing grace, allowed me to be a miracle for this boy. And I saw my mom hug his mom, and my dad hug his dad. My parents are miracles for them. He was getting teased at school 2 years ago, so I went to his school and talked. Now he's the coolest kid in the school. And I know one day in heaven he will call out my name and say, "Hey, Nick!" And I'll turn around and I'll recognize him. But he's going to be running to me with his new legs, hugging me with his new arms, and weeping, weeping. He will say, "Thank you, brother, for letting me believe that this was real." Be a miracle today for somebody. I brought in some friends I just met 2 minutes before I walked in the room. I'm not going to get them to stand up. But a local woman and her daughter are here. The woman's husband, the daughter's father, died recently. And he was in FCA. For many years, he served with you guys. And they just happened to be in the bar. Not the bar, the piano thing. Don't worry, I wasn't drinking because I had to drive. May God bless you. May God bless your family for the years and the seeds and the seeds and the seeds and the seeds that your husband was sowing and sown into the next generation. I know he did you proud. And I know as he sees God, he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful one." He had a heart for the youth till his very last breath. To all of you, may we run and not slow down. Go bigger, more creative, with always keeping in mind the priorities. Number one is him. Number two is my wife. She's my biggest ministry. Not because she needs help. We both need help. We can't do it without Jesus. No one can. One, two, and everything else. Trust him. Dream big. And never give up on God, because he'll never give up on you. Lord Jesus, we come before you tonight. And we pray that you would mightily bless FCA with bigger goals than we have ever dreamt of, imagine, ask, or attain. We ask in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone with passion, with faith, and with peace above all. It's not about us doing it. Wow, this is so huge. How are we going to do this, God? Just hear my whispers, and I'll lead you, and I'll never forsake you. Father, help us to be wise as serpents, gentle as a dove, with your wisdom and your strength and your endurance, to see your vision for this nation. Father, may you bless every child who's thinking of committing suicide. Be with them tonight. Help us to be your arms and legs, your hands and feet. And thank you, Lord, that you can use us and you want to use us, not because of what we think we can do or what we think we have. It's when we realize it's all about you. It's all for you. It's all through you. It starts with you. It is you. And it ends with you. Jesus. Amen. God bless you.